sang, and the angel host all shouted, till with joy the heavens rang. Then your wisdom and your greatness, their exultant music told, all the beauty and the splendor which your
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to St. James Westminster Anglican Church. This week, we finally got the new microphone packages installed, and we have spent some time adjusting things. So if volume is not sufficient, let us know. And over time, we'll get all of them tested and in place, but it's nice to have the new equipment in. Beginning next Sunday, we will return to two services, 8:30 and 10:30. Couple of reasons for that. I think there's some light on the horizon from the Omicron variant, and we're slowly getting to a point where we can do a little bit more. By having two services, we can probably keep the numbers at each service down rather than having a larger number at one service, two smaller numbers, which is probably a good idea. And most of the other churches that are open are still doing two services, so there's always strength in numbers, so we will continue with that. So if you're a fan of the Book of Common Prayer or like getting up and out of church early, beginning next week there will be an 8:30 service, and if you happen to sleep in, there will always be a 10:30 service as well. Also coming up is our vestry or our annual meeting. If you are part of any group in which you are supposed to write a report, you can't watch any football this afternoon until your report is written. That probably lets most of you off the hook, because you'll say, I'm not going to watch any football anyways. Some of us will be. But reports are due in the office tomorrow. Vestry will be on the 6th of February. Tentatively, I will suggest that the vestry will begin at 1 o'clock on Zoom. So there'll be an 8:30 service, a 10:30 service, because of some infrastructure issues and things we need to do the Zoom from home. So there'll be a bit of a break, and vestry will likely be at 1 o'clock on Sunday, February the 6th. I think that's all the announcements for today. Let's just take half a second to still our hearts and our spirits and enter worship. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hidden. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen.
My heart awaking cries, may
pray. Almighty God, by grace alone, you call us and accept us in your service. Strengthen us by your Spirit and make us worthy of your call. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our service continues with the reading of Scripture.
A reading from Paul's first letter to the Corinthians. Just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in the one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit. Indeed, the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot would say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear would say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole body were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many members, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the members of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable, and those members of the body that we think less honorable, we clothe with greater honor. And our less respectable members are treated with greater respect. Whereas our more respectable members do not need this. But God has arranged the body, giving the greater honor to the inferior member, that there may be no dissension within the body, but the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together with it. If one member is honored, all rejoice together with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and individually members of it. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then deeds of power, then gifts of healing, forms of assistance, forms of leadership, various kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all possess gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret, but strive for the greater gifts? The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Lord, you have the words of
precepts of the Lord are right. They gladden the heart. The command of the Lord is clear, giving light to the eye. Lord, you have the words of everlasting life. They are worth more than gold, than the finest gold, sweeter than honey, than honey from the comb. Lord, you have the words of everlasting
The Lord be with you. The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke.
Glory to you,
Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus, filled with the power of the Spirit, returned to Galilee, and a report about him spread through all the surrounding country. He began to teach it in their synagogues and was praised by everyone. When he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. Then he began to say to them, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." The Gospel of Christ. Praise to you, Lord.
May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be now and always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. So being the mischievous person that I can often be, I said to the group on Wednesday when we went through the reading from 1 Corinthians, maybe I should preach on the less honorable parts of the body. Wouldn't that be a good sermon to bring all those out? And in a way, just having said that, I'm in a way proving the point of what I want to say in the homily, because you can be quite certain, if we go back to the days of Canon Merriman or Archdeacon Jones, that it would not have gone over well for the priest to stand up and say, "I want to talk about the less honorable parts of the body and which ones they might be." It shows that we have changed over time. So I need to give you some background, and this is background that I forget all the time. I tend to look at the New Testament, the chronology, as the order that it's written in the Bible, and that's the furthest from the truth. The first writings about the way, about Jesus Christ, the first documents that were available to be shared were Paul's letters. And not by a couple of weeks, but by 10 or 12 years. In fact, Galatians could have been written as early as 48, somewhere 48, 50, 51, as Paul began his missionary journeys. So that's only 18 years after the death, resurrection, and ascension of Jesus. The two letters to the Corinthians come in the middle of the 50s. The first gospel, which is Mark, doesn't come along until probably 65. Matthew and Luke are right around the time of the fall of the temple and the overrunning of Jerusalem by the Romans in the year 70. And nobody really knows how to date John's gospel. I've heard as early as 75 and as late as 120. So what Paul is doing here is groundbreaking. And that's why he picks this metaphor. He has been to Galatia, and he's been to Corinth, and he's been to other places, and he has told them the story of Jesus. And it's a story that they've never heard. It would be like somebody representing Jainism. I'll pick a religion out of the blue. Somebody representing Jainism coming in and speaking to you this morning. You'd be going, what? Now, yes, there would have been an oral understanding, oral stories of Jesus circulating throughout various parts of the Gentile world. While Paul very much includes the Gentiles in everything, there are pockets of Jewish folks in all of these communities. And they are the first ones most likely drawn to what Paul is saying. And so Paul is faced with a community which has all kinds of rules and regulations. One of the Talk about your less honorable parts of the body. One of the things that Paul is trying to work through in Corinthians with the folks in Corinth is the fact that even after he went and talked about Jesus and baptism, these folks were still saying you had to be circumcised to be part of the way. They were still holding on to their Jewish roots. There are many things that these various communities, and it's understandable, Paul comes for a couple of weeks or a month or maybe 2 months and preaches every day in the city square and talks to people, and they learn a little bit about this, and then Paul goes away, and they're all going, well, I don't think he said anything about this, so I guess that hasn't changed. So constantly what Paul is doing is reminding people of what he said. And this is somewhat groundbreaking news because as these letters to the Corinthians circulate, people who didn't hear Paul, who only have it second or third or fourth hand, are now hearing firsthand through these letters that would have been read again in the square, and people would have learned about what Paul was saying. So what is Paul saying? Why is he using this metaphor? Well, because it helps to separate Christianity, the way, Jesus, from that which was Jewish, which people were trying to hold on. One of the Jewish rules is about menstrual uncleanliness. A part of the body, again, like circumcision, which we might suggest was a less honorable part of the body. So by using this understanding of one body and many members, it helped Paul in one way to get away from some of those Jewish traditions, but he also helped him with his main message, and that is that everyone is welcome. We forget that this understanding of Jesus is brand new. There wasn't a CNN, there wasn't a Globe and Mail, there wasn't NBC News, there was no way except for word of mouth and conversation, person to person, for this to spread. We all know Christianity, we know what it's all about, we've got it all figured out, right, over time. These people were learning for the first time. And so this was a wonderful metaphor to help them come to that understanding. And I'm sure that Paul used this metaphor in person when he was talking to people, but they didn't get it. One of the things that Paul addresses in 1 Corinthians is the way the early church had developed around the Eucharist. What would happen would be that the community would come together, and those who were wealthy would sit in their homes, reclining on chaise lounges, which was the furniture that they used, and enjoy a wonderful meal with their servants bringing it to them, and then would receive communion the best wine, the best bread. And then it was like, oh yeah, there's those poor people down there. Here's a loaf of bread and we'll drop down a jug of wine and you guys can have communion as well. So all of a sudden, it's not many members, one body. It's the members that are more important are at the top of the body, are the leading parts of the body. And those who are less presentable get less. So it's a great metaphor. It's one that we've all heard. I mean, how many times in your lives have you heard this reading? Many parts, one body. The body of Christ, we are all one. So how do we do with that? We understand when we talk about Paul's criticism of these folks who had just learned about Christianity, and we say, yes, Paul's right. It's the whole body. The Gentiles are allowed to come in. They shouldn't have these divisions between rich and poor. They shouldn't have all these things. And how are we doing with that today? Is the Christian family one body? Good Lord, I can talk to somebody from another denomination and I'll guarantee you I can create a huge argument in the first 20 seconds. I mean, all we have to do is talk about baptism. The simple first thing in the body, to be baptized. Well, should it be infant baptism? Adult baptism? Is it all right to sprinkle? Do we have to dunk? Full immersion? What's going on? What does this mean? And Christian denominations all over the place have all kinds of different understandings of how we do this. It's not many members, one body. It's many members saying to the body that this is the way it should be. Let's look at on a social justice basis. How inclusive are we? How many years have we struggled to include gays and lesbians, not only in the community, in church? Have we as a society, do we still as a society say you're a less honorable part of the body? If you're black? If you're poor? If you're a refugee? If you're a conservative? If you're a liberal? We have all these divides that we continue to propagate. So we need to hear this metaphor from Paul, not to say, what a smart thing Paul said, but to ask us what it means to us today. To live up to it. To live into it. Has the church always done well at that? Have we always included everyone? Do we now include everyone? These are tough questions. Because the natural way of humans is to divide. I know over the next few days, you knew I was going to get here. I know over the next few days I'm going to have some wonderful arguments about football with people. Because some of the people I know, their team's long out. Mine's still alive, hopefully still after today. But you can get to the point on those kinds of understandings that people get into fist fights over a football game. You said something about my quarterback and you can't do that. That's still who we are. It's one thing to have a metaphor. It's one thing to take it in on an intellectual basis. It's another thing to take the metaphor and take the understanding and build on what Paul said and then bring in what the Gospels said in the next 10 or 15 years to the people and to trace it through how we have lived it as Christian people for 2,000 years and try to live it today. It is a wonderful metaphor. But a metaphor is only as valuable as we make it by the way we live it. Amen. As you are able, I invite you to stand. Let us confess the faith of our baptism as we say, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day He rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. I invite you to take whatever position is comfortable for you in prayer, sitting, standing, or kneeling.
Let us take a moment now, still our bodies and still our minds, as we pray together. Open our ears, Lord, and teach us to listen to You. Lord God, as we call to mind that we are members of the worldwide church, we pray for those who are insulted or persecuted for our shared faith. We stand alongside them now. Open our ears, Lord, and teach us to pray. Loving God, thank You for being our shield and strength. You are a God of compassion and faithfulness. During this challenging time, please protect, nourish, and sustain our clergy, Keith, Hannah, and Jerry, and other church leaders through the work of Your Holy Spirit. May they find rest and encouragement in Your loving care. Open our ears, Lord, and teach us to listen to You. We pray that all of us who inhabit our planet Earth may learn to hear You again and respond to Your voice of love. Open our ears, Lord, and teach us to listen to You. We pray that wherever materialism or stress or sorrow or sin have deafened us to Your will, we may be promoted to put things right. Open our ears, Lord, and teach us to listen to You. We pray that our homes may be places where You are welcomed and recognized through the good and the troubled times. Open our ears, Lord. We bring to Your love all our fellow members who are ill, injured, or sad. Alert us to see how we can help and give them a real sense of Your comforting presence. Especially we pray for Dan Lemansky, Sylvia Brightwell, Peter Giampa, Stella Woodhouse, Diane Fuster, Anna Woodson, Chris Brilia, and Tom Emery, nephew of Tom Austin. Open our ears, Lord, and teach us to listen to You. We remember those who have traveled through life and now have gone through death into eternity. We thank You for their lives and commend them to Your keeping. Open our ears, Lord, and teach us to listen to You. Thank You, Lord God, for all You have shown us through Jesus and through word and sacrament week by week. Open our ears, Lord, and teach us to listen to You. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of Your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen. My dear friends in Christ, God is steadfast in love and infinite in mercy. God welcomes sinners and invites them to this table. Let us now confess our sins, confident in God's forgiveness. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against You in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved You with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry and we humbly repent. For the sake of Your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in Your will and walk in Your ways to the glory of Your name. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy upon you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. With a wink, with a smile under our masks, with a wave, the peace of the Lord be always with you. Let us share the peace amongst us. Loving God, before the world began, you called us. Make holy all we offer you this day, and strengthen us in that calling. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ the Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. We give you thanks and praise, Almighty God, through your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Redeemer. He is your living Word, through whom you have created all things. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he took flesh of the Virgin Mary and shared a human nature. He lived and died as one of us to reconcile us to you, the God and Father of all. In fulfillment of your will, he stretched out his hands in suffering to bring release to those who placed their hope in you. And so he won for you a holy people. He chose to bear our griefs and sorrows and to give up his life on the cross, that he might shatter the chains of evil and death and banish the darkness of sin and despair. By his resurrection, he brings us into the light of your presence. Now with all creation, we raise our voices to proclaim the glory of your name. Holy, 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 Lord God of might. Heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy and gracious God, accept our praise through your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, who in the night he was handed over to suffering and death, took bread and gave you thanks, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body which is broken for you." In the same way, he took the cup, saying, "This is my blood which is shed for you. When you do this, you do it in memory of me." Remembering, therefore, his death and resurrection, we offer you this bread and this cup, giving thanks that you have made us worthy to stand in your presence and serve you. We ask you to send your Holy Spirit upon the offering of your holy church. Gather into one all who share in these sacred mysteries, filling them with the Holy Spirit and confirming their faith in the truth, that together we may praise you and give you glory through your servant, Jesus Christ. All glory and honor are yours, Father and Son, with the Holy Spirit, in the Holy Church, now and forever. Amen. And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive them that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. We break this bread to share in the body of Christ, we being many, for we all share in the one bread. A reminder of our communion protocol during this time of pandemic. Stay in your pew to receive communion. Jerry and I will bring communion to you. You may stand, sit, or kneel to receive communion, whichever is most comfortable for you. There is a gluten-free alternative if you wish. We have gluten-free wafers. If you prefer to receive a blessing instead of communion, please cross your arms like this, and we'll be only too happy to give you a blessing. These are the gifts of God for you, the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Blessed be the tie that our hearts in Jesus' Son.
Let us pray. Gracious God, our hands have taken holy things. Our lives have been nourished by the body of your Son. May we who have eaten at this holy table be strengthened for service in your world. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ the Lord. Amen. Glory to God, whose power working in us can do infinitely more than we can ask or imagine. Glory to God from generation to generation, in the church and in Christ Jesus, forever and ever. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, and the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be with us this day and remain with us forevermore. Amen. Let us go in peace to love and serve the Lord and each other. Thanks be to God.